even though we've been expecting it for quite a while now, it's been probably about 6 months that we've been expecting Nelson Mandela to pass on, it still comes at a massive shock to many of us, especially those of us who knew him very, very closely. And, of course, I just remember that what role he played. He played such a massive role in our freedom. He was the one, he was really the spokesperson for all of us in terms of our struggle for freedom. And seeing him go, the one who fought so tirelessly for our freedom, dying, you know, it's kind of nostalgic and sad in many, many ways. But knowing that he suffered a lot, you know, helps us to just let him go and make sure and to just be happy that he's in a better place and he's not in any pain anymore. But, you know, a very, very sad and poignant moment, I think, for all South Africans, because Nelson Mandela epitomized freedom. He epitomized hope. He epitomized truth, reconciliation, forgiveness, most importantly, are the things that I think about, because he helped us all to just come to terms with what had happened during the dark days of apartheid.
What's your personal story connection to Nelson Mandela?
Well, I met Nelson Mandela after he came out of prison, about 2 months after he was released. And I was summoned to a meeting at the ANC headquarters in Johannesburg. And I had been tasked with organizing a concert to raise funds for the elections. And so I was kind of giving him an update of the artists that we were booking, etc., from America. And so he said, "Oh, you're a nice, very, very tall man. You'll make a very good bodyguard. Would you like to come and work with me?" And so I said, "Yes, I'd love to." And a few months later, I was working with him. And, you know, I spent a long time probably, you know, because we work shifts, and I spent a long time just getting to understand him, talking to him, understanding really how he's managed to cope given what's happened to him in prison, and just, you know, just learning from him. Yeah, I mean, I was like a sponge, just learning from this hero, this man that I never ever thought that I'd meet. And it's almost like, you know, it's one of these strange things that happen when you never ever expect it to happen. And then there I was in the same room as him, and he made me feel so comfortable. And, you know, and from then on, we got on very, very well. I spent a lot of time with him right up until he retired in 1998, when he retired as president. And so it was good. I learned just so much. I met so many people. And, I mean, one of the endearing moments that I will never forget was President Bill Clinton was visiting South Africa from America. And Nelson Mandela says to Bill Clinton, "I want you to meet a very, very important man." And he goes towards the kitchen and fetches the chef's six-year-old son. And he says, "I want you to meet this man." And none of us could quite understand what exactly he was doing. And we thought it was a bit bizarre. But and then we started to get to understand that he absolutely loved children. He believed that they were the future, and that because of the fact that he had a difficult childhood and many children suffer, and that's why he started the Nelson Mandela Children's Foundation, which is really all about taking care of children. He's passionate about them and making sure that they don't get hurt. And that's why, as a tribute myself, I do a lot of work with children. I go into schools. I'm a UNICEF ambassador. I'm really passionate about the work that UNICEF does, and I also go into schools just talking about my own experience living with apartheid in South Africa, and just the whole thing of what it was like as a child, what was it like as not having privileges that white children have, and what was it like just being told that you're not good enough because of the color of your skin. And children really, really respond very, very well to the message, and just getting to understand how forgiveness works and how that, you know, without forgiving, we can't really be free. And Nelson Mandela taught me that without forgiveness, forgiveness is the key, really, to freedom.
When you look at all the coverage in the papers this morning on the television, and you, this man, this icon, do you have to sit there and pinch yourself to think you actually worked with him.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, I pinch myself because I just remember times when we would be in his lounge at his presidential home in Cape Town, and we had our shoes off and we were just relaxing, talking or listening to music. And, you know, just very quiet and a lovely time, because, I had so many questions to ask him, and I would give him some time on his own just to spend time with his thoughts. And I just remember, you know, just being there all the time. And being there when he was released, I didn't know him at the time. I rushed to Victor Verster Prison where he was kept. And of course, when he was released, I was one of the first people there to meet him with all the rest of the crowd. And just watching him as a statesman, just reuniting the nation and just seeing. And in many ways, when he was released on the 11th of February, 1990, it was not just black people's freedom. It was everybody's freedom. Even white people were released from this bondage of apartheid that we had been under. And so it was a freedom that we all felt. It was just euphoric. It was just, and of course, being near him was just so good, because it's, you know, people talk about his magic. They talk about the Madiba magic, and it's just really magical. You can't put into words what it was like just working with him.
You talk about talking to children these days and explaining to them about apartheid.
Yes.
Just give us a picture of exactly what was going on when you were growing up. What was life like?
Well, life was very, very difficult. You know, growing up without electricity, no running water, no tap in the house. I normally show children a picture of a tap. I first ask them the question, you know, what do you dream about having? And or doing, and they talk about the latest Xbox or the PlayStation or whatever. And then I show them this picture of a boy drinking water from a tap, and I tell them that I used to dream about the day we would have running water in our house, or we'd have a toilet or a shower, because we didn't have that. And they can't believe it. And I relate the story. I had an experience when I was 8 years old, when my mother was thrown off a whites-only bench because she needed to sit desperately because she was ill. And two policemen came, lifted her off the bench and just threw her on the floor. And I tell them how she knocked her head on the pavement and was unconscious. And the children cannot believe that one human being can treat another one like that. And it's shocking for them, but that's what I expect, and that's the reaction I want out of them, because they need to understand that sort of behavior is not acceptable. It's not acceptable to treat somebody differently because they're from a different country, they speak differently, they have a different skin color. And so it's all about them understanding that racism in any form or bullying in any form is not cool. And just like the Holocaust, I think this is a story that we'll be telling for generations to come.